Hey everyone. This episode of Busted Stuff originally premiered on Spotify in November 2019, so some of the content may feel slightly out of place. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We're here.
My name is John. I am a co-host of this podcast.
Co-host.
Would you prefer guest?
No, you're a co-host. I think you're a co-host.
I'm a co-host.
I don't know if we really host this podcast. It's more we just sort of
I would say
create.
You host a podcast.
But if it's not really, I'm not hosting you, you know? You're not my guest, are you?
No, that's why it's a co-host.
But we're not hosts either, you know?
Why aren't we hosts?
I feel like host implies that you're, there's some sort of other production going on. Say, like, we were hosting a variety music hour.
Right.
And then we would be co-hosts, and then we'd say, up next, you know?
But say, hypothetically, in the future, if other people who appeared on the podcast appeared as guests, if there exists a potential for guests, would there not need to be a host?
Yeah.
Or potential co-hosts? And
fair.
Therefore, would that not be our title?
Fair. But
that's my argument.
I just think it's more, we don't need labels.
You know what? You're right. Labels put you in a box.
Right. And I don't want to be in a box.
I don't want to be in a box either.
I want to be in like a rectangular prism or maybe even a cylinder. Keep me in like a cylinder.
How exotic.
Cryogenically just frozen.
Wow.
And then that's how I'm going to produce this podcast. It'll just be like an hour of you just hear like icicles kind of like dripping and stuff.
That would be really compelling to listen to.
There would be video as well, though, because it would be like you'd see me slowly melting and whatnot.
Are you made of ice, or are you?
No.
You need to articulate the image here a bit more, because so, I'm picturing you like think of like Star Wars Episode 5,
right?
Luke,
right,
like
right.
At the start, he's in the.
You mean Han?
What?
Because he's frozen in carbonite.
At the start of episode 5. That's at the end of
You
have Luke
when he's like hanging
in like the tube, because on Hoth.
Oh, because he's in like the water.
He's, yeah, exactly.
See, no, I'm thinking more like you're frozen, just like straight up. Because he's also floating in water. In
so
that
it's
case.
Like a Luke to Han ratio, like a scale.
No. I'm just talking like straight up frozen.
Oh, okay.
Like in ice. No, how did they do it? You know when you're cryogenically frozen?
I've never experienced it myself before, but
so usually when I get cryogenically frozen there's like,
please elaborate.
You're not like suspended in ice, because that can't be good for you. But I think you would be.
It can be.
Can it?
I don't know if that's true.
Like a prolonged ice bath? That somehow puts you to sleep and keeps you from aging. Oh, you know where we're going with this? Captain America. Duh.
Oh wow. Great. Well, so, continue. What were you going to say?
So with Captain America's case, he was just in the ice, you know? They found him frozen.
Right.
But, like, how does one freeze in a way that doesn't kill you but keeps you from aging, but you're not just a block of ice? Because how could you live?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know if it's a thing or not. Has anyone ever successfully been cryogenically frozen and then revived afterward?
We'll have to get our research assistant to look that one up. Edith, can you look that up for us, please? There's not actually anyone.
He made that up just
there's now. No one named
I'm,
Edith.
Wow.
I'm actually the research assistant.
Well, let me shuffle this paper.
Yeah, check our notes. Okay, great. So we're looking at our notes right now.
Right.
And, so far, the results are inconclusive.
That's okay. Maybe we should leave it as inconclusive. I'm not sure.
Basically, the idea is you preserve brain information. Oh, wait, never mind. You can actually do this. Oh, wait, no, never mind. Hold on. Okay.
That was a roller coaster of emotions. So, I don't know how I feel about
so
this.
So first
anymore.
I see, in attempt to preserve enough brain information to permit future revival, and I was like, okay, potentially possible. And now I see cryonics is the low temperature freezing and storage of a human corpse or severed head. So I'm kind of thinking,
probably
this might not work out so
probably
well.
Probably not. You know what? If I had a decision of do I want to be frozen or do I not want to be frozen? I think I'm going to go with not being frozen.
Yeah. According to Wikipedia, cryonics is a pseudoscience, and its practice has been characterized as quackery. Well, tell that to Captain America. Am I right?
Ha. Got him. Wow.
It's a pseudoscience, yeah, whatever you say, Wikipedia.
Wikipedia is an unreliable okay, source anyway.
That is not true. Everyone says that, and that's such BS. All right,
but academically speaking...
Okay, yeah, because, like...
We're taught that, and therefore... It's just... I'm trying to prove the point
No!
That, no, wait.
Oh, I was clipped there, sorry.
Oh, jeez. I'm trying to prove the point that because Wikipedia is, quote-unquote, unreliable, therefore, we can say that that instance of it saying cryonics is pseudoscience could be false.
Okay.
Therefore... Captain America could still be true.
Okay, good.
You understand what I'm getting.
No, that's good. I just want to get back to this Wikipedia thing, though, because...
Okay.
Most Wikipedia articles are very reliable. They're well-sourced.
I don't think I've ever been wholly misled by a Wikipedia article, especially if it has enough citations.
And if there's going to be something misleading, it's usually one sentence that's clearly been added on later. Like, not even 9 times out of 10. 99 times out of 99.5. It's fine. You know, I've learned more stuff from Wikipedia than I have probably from any textbook. It's super convenient, super digestible, you know?
Right.
And I just think there's a big conspiracy.
Is that why your wealth of knowledge is almost entirely random?
Yes.
Exactly. That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Because sometimes in class I'll just kind of go on Wikipedia and be like, "Whoa, that's cool. Let's check out, you know."
There are many a time when I
Byzantine end up, mosaics.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes it just needs to be done.
No, because I think there's a grand conspiracy where teachers, maybe like middle school, high school teachers, they want kids to have to do more work to find sources, mm-hmm. which makes sense because it's good to learn how to.
It's good to learn how to research.
Like do
at the
good
same
research.
Time, the Even if you weren't able to cite Wikipedia as a source in and of itself, the sources at the bottom of the Wikipedia article on any given topic
right.
are all available sources.
Right. What I'm saying is, I just think in an alternative universe, everyone could just use Wikipedia.
In an alternative universe, clarifying where people could be cryogenically frozen.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a given, obviously.
Right.
Obviously.
Okay.
All the little Captain Americas in high school, they could just use Wikipedia for all their research papers and save themselves at least 20 minutes, maybe even 30 minutes. And think about all that added up time. 30 minutes times what? How many children are there that go through high school? Everyone in, like, you know, the...
Let's say there's, like, 300 or so people in your grade.
Yeah.
In a high school class. Okay. So 300... times 30 minutes would be 150 hours.
Minutes.
150 hours?
That sounds right, yeah.
Is that right? And so that's 150 hours of
That's like a whole week. Almost
saved.
A whole week. Imagine if you applied a whole week of time to something. You could solve any problem.
A whole week of time per paper.
Per paper. And you know how high school is. There's like two papers. That's like 2 weeks. Think of it. Just name me a problem. Go. What's a problem in the world right now?
Oh. I'm kind of sore.
You're sore?
Yeah.
Okay, think about it. In 2 weeks. Imagine if we applied 2 weeks of physical therapy to John in right this second. He'd be better instantly. Am I wrong?
I suppose I would be.
We just... Do every physical therapy, every single
all you need to
stretch
do
and icing.
Is put me in a plane, crash me into the Arctic, cryogenically freeze me, while I'm holding, or after just fighting a super villain named Red Skull, then revive me, half a century later, like 3/4 of a century later,
70 years.
70 years. Revive me 70 years later. Have me fight invading aliens.
Yep.
And then, guess what? I won't be sore anymore.
And, I mean...
That's the power of Wikipedia.
One of the tenets of getting over soreness is ice.
Right.
So we're just taking that to its extreme. What if we just cryogenically froze people who were sore? You know, like, every time you get back from the gym...
They might die.
It's like, all right, I'm going to go on ice for a little bit.
All right. And
well, just... they might, but it's not pseudoscience, so they won't. Right?
Right.
Anyway, speaking of the gym...
We took a trip.
We did
yesterday.
Was that no 2 days ago?
Was it yesterday?
No, it was 2 days ago. Because yesterday, no, yeah, it was 2 days ago. Because I've been to the gym twice.
You're right. So we went to the gym, not necessarily to exercise, mind you.
Well, because you know I already went that morning.
We get it.
And John went that afternoon.
I did go with that afternoon.
So, just saying.
But we get it.
Your boys like to lift sometimes. We were there.
So we went
to get vaccinated.
Because vaccination is important.
Yes. We wanted to get vaccinated against the deadly influenza virus, which can kill, and it kills tens of thousands of people, Americans, every year.
It's really important.
Well, complications from the flu, at least.
Right. You
know, usually it's like someone has a weakened immune system, or a child or an elderly person, they're susceptible, and then the flu can lead to pneumonia or, you know, things.
Wow.
Our resident doctor...
Edith?
Samuel, actually.
Samuel.
He's the doctor.
Samuel.
He's not here today to give us a fact check on that, so...
We'll have a follow-up at some point.
Absolutely.
But so, anyway. We went because the university was putting on a free vaccination program, running it out of Yates, where they had med students helping people, giving them shots for the vaccine, and we decided that we should go get vaccinated. So we both went up there after our classes finished that day, and we got vaccinated. And in talking about needles. Thank you. In talking about needles, we
just to clarify needles. I think it's a funny word. Sorry.
I think that's really lovely.
All right. Yeah.
Continue. So, in talking about needles, we found out that Tommy used to have a sort of
antiphobia.
That's a good word for it. So, traditionally, when you think of children getting vaccinated or getting shots in general, going to the doctor, everyone hates needles. Right?
This is not to say that I like needles, just to clarify
right.
for the record.
But traditionally, everyone hates needles, they get afraid, maybe they even cry. I know I cried when I got shots as a child.
I mean, I think I might have shed a tear when... You know they do the little pinchy blood test?
Oh, those are the worst. The pricks
on
your fingertips?
Like, what is that? They take a thing and it's supposed to...
It's like to get blood samples
from
your thumb.
I don't know how the little contraption works where it goes like...
I assume it's just like a... I don't know.
Some kind of little...
They just shave you?
Yeah, I gotta go to the doctor, get shanked real quick.
It's fine.
It's very professional.
They're medical professionals.
Yeah, but... Okay, so I guess I'll go through this whole needle thing.
Right. So, backdrop to it. Kids don't like getting needled. They don't want to look at it.
Kids don't like getting needled.
kids don't like getting shots. They don't want to look at it while they're doing it. Doctors typically say, you don't have to look at it. We'll count, and then it'll happen, and then you'll be done.
Right, and I think evolutionarily it makes sense, you know?
It does,
like,
indeed.
I am not a fan of this foreign object stabbing me. Like,
yeah.
Wow, that makes sense. You're doing really good as a human.
This man or woman that I don't know is coming to me in a white lab coat and wants to stick me with a metal object.
Right, and you know where my mind goes with that when I hear that? I'm thinking, like, an insect with a stinger, you know? Maybe not a white lab coat clad insect, but some kind of thing is coming and it wants to, you know,
right,
you know, suck, get me with a little zap.
Wow.
And that's not good. So my instant reaction is going to be, okay, no, let's not do this. However, with me, because I learned that, you know, it was expected to be, you know,
afraid
scary.
Of it. Yes.
I was told, the nurse is like, okay, you know, look away. We'll give you a sticker. You can have a lollipop and yummy. I'm totally going to take that lollipop.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted the lollipop not because I powered through this frightening experience. I wanted the lollipop because I wasn't a coward. That's where this came in.
Right.
I took this as sort of a test of my own bravery.
Yes.
The needle times. So anytime I got a shot.
The needle times.
The needle times.
It's like an age.
Yeah. It's like the Freudian stages of development. You know?
Oh, I was thinking like the 200-year period following the medieval times. times.
Oh, okay. The needle times. So, like, high Middle Ages and then early modern period, but replace early modern with needle.
Yeah.
Well, when were vaccinations invented? Early 20th century?
That sounds right. So, it's probably, like, similar to the time that penicillin was invented.
That's the modern era, right?
That's, like, 20th... I mean, like...
Well, we all know it's after the Cambrian explosion.
This is true.
We can clarify that.
We can clarify post-Cam... What? I don't think...
Definitely after the Cretaceous period.
Yes.
What are we... The Mesozoic era?
I would go as far to say that it's after the development of agriculture.
Okay, cool. So, we're talking sometime after civilization.
We just got way more specific with that time frame.
We did, actually. We
went out from, like, millions of years.
Hundreds of millions of years to, like, a few thousand. So, like, this is scientific podcasting. Yeah. We didn't even look that up.
No, we just knew that because we learned from Wikipedia.
Yes. All I needed to know, I learned from Wikipedia. What were we talking about? Needles.
Needles.
The needle era. Right, so... Anyway, so I took it as, like, a personal test. You know, if I looked away, I lost.
Right.
And this isn't
naturally.
This isn't to say that people who look away are wrong. And in fact, they're probably more right than I am. You know, it's like,
I'm glad you say that.
You should probably look away, or, like, it's weird. You know, it hurts, it's uncomfortable. Like, yeah. That's very normal.
It's totally okay to not look at a needle going into your body.
And I'm not okay. Hence, I need to look at the needle. Not even the needle. I gotta look at the nurse. I'm gonna stare them down. And just watch what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'm just an untrustworthy person, but if that needle comes out, I'm watching every movement of that needle, you know?
That's also reasonable, actually.
I guess,
because you want to keep track of the sharp, metallic, dangerous object in your vicinity.
I mean, yeah, if someone pulls a knife, like, I'm gonna keep my eye on that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, unless I just sprint away, which is another option.
Mm.
But it's slightly different, I think, because we're in a controlled environment with the needle.
Yeah.
And I think there was some societal expectation for me as a child to, you know, not look. But, you know, I guess you can't see video of this, but I would just kind of stare down at that thing.
Yeah.
And then they'd put it in me.
He just, for those of you who can't see, which is all of you, he just looked down, like, put his head past the microphone and flexed his arm and stared, like, at his shoulder.
Yeah, just aggressively looked at my arm.
Yeah.
It was like... You know, when you hear the term stoic, you think, okay, very calm, maybe be pensive, you know, relaxed. I would consider this, like, aggressive stoicism. Like, I have to get across the point that I'm very calm right now.
You are.
You know, I'm super
the
calm.
The calmest person.
I'm so calm. I'm speaking through my teeth because of how calm I am.
Wow.
And, like, I'd have to watch it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of carried through. It's become a habit now. So obviously, 2 days ago when I got that flu vaccine, you know, I stared right at it. It's a little harder.
Because he's not a coward.
Yes, because I'm not a coward. It's a little harder with, say, a blood donation because they make you lie down. And so it's harder. I have to like, pick my head up. And they're like, what are you doing? Put your head back down. I'm like, I just got to watch.
He's like, no.
And then, because with that...
Say no between you. No.
No, yeah. I mean, it's different with, like, if they do a blood test with a vial where they do the intravenous insertion of the needle, you know, where they put it in your arm and the elbow kind of?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, sometimes you're sitting for that, and that's easy to watch. But if you're lying down, it's harder to kind of crane your neck over. And I'm going to admit, I'd be the first person to admit, I don't like the feeling of a needle just sitting in my arm.
Oh, no, I don't like
that. Like, shots are one thing because it's like a little, oop.
It's like, it's done. Know,
like, little prick, and then they always say, it's like, okay, it's going to burn a little bit, and then you're good. With a blood donation or a blood test, it just kind of sits there, and then you got to do, like, the little hand motion thing to keep the blood pumping.
Yeah.
And you just, like, feel the needle, and it's like, okay, this is a little weird. It's a little weird, but I'm still going to look at it, but it's a little weird. It's like, I'm not a coward, but it's a little weird.
No, you got kind of defensive there.
I think that's what this is.
Are you a coward?
It's a deep-seated insecurity.
Are you like a... an undercover coward?
Yeah, see, it's like, I gotta...
You coward?
I have to project to the world.
Right.
My deep security.
You're macho.
I'm extremely strong.
Yes.
And therefore, needles cannot stand a chance against my bravado and courage. Anyway.
You know who else was so strong because of needles? Captain America.
Well, he is my idol.
I know that.
I didn't even know Captain America existed when I was a kid. But
you were embodying him already.
Yeah.
Is that what you're...
Because everyone knows Captain America, he just stares at nurses until they stick him with needles.
That's him.
You know Cap.
Classic.
Classic Cap.
Yeah, because, I mean, what else would you do? If you're Captain America, I'm going to just, you know... I mean, did he look... I don't think he looked.
Well,
he was
kind of, like, out cold in the movie. Well, he was, like, in that chamber.
Right.
This is the first movie, not the second.
I'm thinking about... I haven't read the comics, and I'm thinking about the movie. They put those, like, big arm restraints on him.
Yeah.
And those things have, like, 15 needles each.
Yeah.
And he's just staring up at the ceiling because he's strapped down. And then they go in, and he's wincing a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's so, probably a lot of needles.
He's a coward.
Okay, no.
You sure?
You're tossing that word around. It's a dangerous word.
He wasn't looking at it.
Well, he couldn't, though, so you got to give him a pass.
Oh, he was it's, like the it's like the lying down thing.
Yeah, it's hard to do it, and it's also just like, okay, stop. Right,
that's reasonable. That's reasonable.
And also the fact that he flinched, like, that is totally cool, too, because think about it. There were, like, 50 needles going into the dude.
That's a lot.
Like,
I can't imagine. I wouldn't even really... I don't know if I've ever had a situation where I've had more than
one needle in me. Can't say I've ever had 50 needles stuck in me at once. A little acupuncture.
Well, no, I've never done that.
Me neither.
Good. All right. But I don't think I've even had more than one at
a
time. Maybe
it's very rare.
Maybe two, but I don't know.
The only thing I can think of is maybe they do blood plasma donations, and I think with that you have two needles in because one takes the blood out and then it goes to this machine that gets the plasma and then they send the rest of the like the platelets or whatever, they send that back into you.
Right.
But, so yeah, so props to Captain America for taking
good for him.
That many needles. Very courageous.
Not cowardly whatsoever.
No.
I think that's our conclusion here.
Yeah. Anyway, that was our needle segment.
Thank you for listening.
Now it's time for the Twitter segment. Is it?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm just thinking about something we've talked about every week, and Twitter tends to come up.
But here's the thing.
None of us...
No one has even heard the first two because we didn't record them.
Ah, but I recorded them in my brain.
That's lovely.
So...
That's really valuable to everyone listening.
Hey, think of it like the Lost Scrolls of Alexandria. It's precious knowledge, and, you know, maybe somewhere out there there's some kind of mystery record. For all we know, someone is recording every single thing that comes through the WGTB... radio station.
That's true. We don't know that.
We don't.
Support Georgetown Radio.
So, oh, by the way, you're listening to WGTB. Georgetown Radio. It is 2:32 p.m. Sorry. I don't know
support
if we should...
Support College Radio, support Georgetown Radio.
It's weird because we're doing this on the radio station, but we want to, like, record this as its own podcast to post somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? And it's strange because we're still saying the little WGTB thing. But
well, I think it's okay.
Yeah, I guess they're... let's think of them as our sponsors.
I suppose that, in a way...
We can do ad breaks for Georgetown University. Because Georgetown is paying for this.
That's true.
Right?
I mean, why don't we show our appreciation for their equipment by advertising for them?
Yeah, so our ad break will be a Georgetown ad. I don't think it's time for a break just yet.
No, probably not.
Yeah, but we can do that. Because, you know, Audible didn't want to sponsor us. I reached out to the folks at Audible, and they didn't get back to me, so I'm going to assume...
That's really unfortunate.
I sent them an email. I was like, hey, can I get an ad? Thanks. And that was all I said, so I don't know if they're going to get back to me.
He didn't even put his name.
Well, no, because, you know, Audible.
Right.
Yeah, you know, they would know my name. They would hear it.
I see.
Right, obviously. I did want
a really clever joke. I want to linger on that for a little longer than we did before.
No, lingering is bad. We must not tarry.
Okay, we'll move on.
I wanted to talk about Homecoming.
Okay, so today, well, really this whole weekend, it's Homecoming weekend.
But like it's Saturday, really. It's today. Today's the big day.
That's true.
Today's the day when the tents are set up and sanctioned day drinking is a big thing.
And the pep band is
pepping
playing
up their pep.
Playing their pep.
You know, it's my favorite song, Pep, by Pep Band.
Oh, God.
I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm just going to say stuff,
just,
you know?
All right. What do you want to talk about in regards to Homecoming? Do you have any exciting Homecoming plans that you'd like to disclose on this recorded auditory medium?
Well, no.
Okay.
I do have insane plans, actually, that are happening at 3 p.m. or 3:15 when this podcast ends.
What would that be?
I'm going to be staying in the studio and playing music.
That is so exciting.
Right? because this is a 2-hour show, and you know how we do it. Dear listeners, you know how we do this every week.
You know how we do this.
You know, there's an hour of podcast, an hour of music, in some order. And it doesn't matter which order. It could be, you know...
We keep you in suspense because we are exciting individuals who like to shake things up every once in a while.
Yes.
Anyway, so...
Very exciting.
Very exciting.
So, Homecoming.
Right.
Two things. One... I forgot the first one. Two. Football.
Okay.
Football happens at Homecoming. Now,
football.
Last
my
year,
favorite topic.
Last year we played Columbia University. You know, it's a small liberal arts school in New York. You may or may not have heard of it. So Columbia is an Ivy League team. And
yes.
I guess they're D1 because they're Ivy League. We are not D1. We're a D3 school. And everyone knows that the Ivy Leagues aren't that good at sports. Everyone also knows that Georgetown is not very good at sports. However, homecoming is the time when you win, you know? Everyone wins at homecoming.
This is true.
Unless you're Cornell last week, because they hosted Georgetown for homecoming, and we actually beat them.
Nice.
So, last year, we hosted Columbia, and it's like, oh, okay, easy win, right? Well, no, we lost. This year, however, we're hosting Fordham University, another school in New York City.
Right.
And I think we might be able to win.
I'm optimistic. Yeah. About our chances.
Actually, the game has started. It started half an hour ago.
That's exciting.
You could I can check the score even.
We doing live
this
coverage.
This is now a sports podcast. Welcome to the sports hour. Let's see. I'm going to look up Georgetown football. Hey Edith, can I get the stats in the game?
Yeah, hold on. Here.
Oh wow.
Thank you, Edith.
Okay, 8-6 Georgetown. This just
No,
in.
Hold on. I'm checking the notes.
Okay, wait.
It's 8-6.
Okay,
Georgetown.
It is 8-6. We've confirmed with all of our sources. We have sideline reporters right now at the game. The first quarter has just ended. If it's 8-6, that means that Fordham either has gotten 2 field goals or they missed an extra point attempt after a touchdown.
Right.
And if we have 8 points, did we get a 2-point conversion? That's I don't know. That's kind of weird.
I'm not sure how that went down.
I'm honestly a little disappointed. I was expecting a blowout. Because we've been doing pretty well with football so far this year, Georgetown. Record so far is 4-1. We're the best in the whole league. Fordham's record is 2-4.
Good work, us.
Wow, Colgate is 0-6. I thought they were supposed to be good. Yeah, we're the best in the league, in the Patriot League for football. And somehow we're not destroying Fordham, which is a little disappointing. I was kind of hoping for a big first quarter push, you know? You know how the sports do.
So here I'm gonna be level with all of you, but both with you, Tommy, and with everyone, each and every one of our dear listeners. I don't watch sports. This may come as a shock to anyone who knows me. This may come as a shock to you, Tommy.
I'm shocked.
Are you?
I am utterly bamboozled.
I come off obviously as a very sporty person.
Oh, for sure.
But
I mean, the moment that we started rooming together.
Mm.
I was like, this dude's a total jock.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I saw like all of his sports
all of my
paraphernalia
sports
and his
flags
sports
and posters
banners.
And my sports ball that I keep.
And your sports shoes, you know?
Yeah.
With the little spikes on them.
Yeah, those.
Yeah. I mean, you are a gym rat though. So that makes you kind of sports like.
I mean,
this dude goes to the gym in the morning.
I do.
That's crazy.
It's to wake up.
He doesn't even eat. He goes right to the gym.
Yeah.
Talk about grind.
All right.
I have to, like, eat and do things first.
But if you eat before going to the gym, you're just going to feel gross at the gym.
Ah. You have to time it right, though. I told you this story about the time I ate and then ran 5 miles, right?
Oh, God. Why would you do that to
I think
yourself?
I did told you,
that
tell you this.
That sounds just unpleasant.
I had 2 delicious sandwiches.
Right.
Some delicious bagel sandwiches. I think there was ham on them. Maybe some other accoutrement. Anyway, I ate these 2 sandwiches.
Yes.
And they were sensational. Afterwards, I went for a run, as one does.
You know? Now, when was this? Was this in high school or in college?
I want to say maybe like during the summer between high school years. I was training for cross country.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I go for this run. It was a good run. I think I ran 4 or 5 miles.
Yeah.
You know, just a little jog in the neighborhood, I suppose.
Just kind of relaxed run.
It wasn't very relaxed. I can't run relaxed. I tend to get exhausted when I run.
Okay.
I don't believe people who are relaxed when they run.
Okay.
That's crazy. I wish I could do that, but yeah, running makes me tired, believe it or not. So it was a tiring run. I was running hard. I mean, I was trying to run fast.
Okay.
So I complete the
loop.
That's
sort of what I was getting. Like, not, I'm not saying, like, oh, you're just going for, like, a nice jog and you don't break a sweat. I don't really believe that happens.
I mean, I break a sweat when I, like, anyone. Stand up. Like, let alone, you know, jogging.
Let's, yeah.
Come on. My heart races when I lean down to tie my shoes.
Wow.
Now,
I've never heard a more real statement.
I mean, you know, when you're walking
up the steps. I've never felt more connected to anyone in my life.
Do you have class in White Gravener ever?
I do.
So
I have a 4th-4 class in
White
Gravener.
I had that last semester, and I'm winded for the first 5 minutes of lecture.
It is impressive, like, that anyone can get up there, like, consistently.
Yeah, I mean, this semester I have a 2nd-floor class, and that's okay, but last semester, my psychology lecture in the morning, 4th-floor, and...
What time was that?
It wasn't that early. It was like 11. I had a class before.
I have a 9:30 on the 4th floor of White Gravener. So that is a hike. And
yeah.
I'm always a bit... I need to, like, take a little sit down on the bench in the hallway before I go into the... I'm exaggerating, of course.
Right.
But,
No, I mean, I would get up there. I'd sit down in class. You know, I like to sit in the front of lectures because I can focus better.
That's fair.
And I'll just be like... And it's like, if someone tries to talk to me, they're like, hey, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm good. This is also because I like to take the stairs like 3 at a time, and I tend to run upstairs.
See, I don't...
just go up on all fours, you know, like when you're a little kid. And you just
like, yeah.
When is that no longer acceptable?
I'm not sure. I don't even remember when I stopped doing that.
I miss doing that.
It was a lot of... It made it more exciting.
Just like the beast crawl.
Just felt animalistic.
Yeah.
Get down with the dog, with the pet dog, and just kind of...
Just race up
race
the stairs.
Around.
It's nice.
It is good.
Now, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, running.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So running. Right. I was indeed sweating. I was even breathing quite hard. And I finished the run, and I get back to my house, and I kind of... You know, you do that thing when you're done running, you lean over, you grab your knees, and you're, like, tired.
Yeah, I do know. But, in fact, you're not supposed to do necessarily. You're supposed to lean back and have your hands on your head.
Yeah, everyone says that, but leaning on my knees feels much better.
All right, sure. But that's not the point. Because if you lean forward, you're going to have, like, more... I don't know really what I'm talking about, just perfect.
No, I think you're definitely... This. No, it's like when you have a cramp, you're supposed to do the thing where you touch your head.
So, like, leaning forward, like, closes your diaphragm or something, and it makes it harder to breathe. But if you lean upward and then, like, have your hands on your head, then that kind of opens up your airway, and it makes it easier to breathe, and you can oxygenate yourself more.
I love being oxygenated.
God, oxygen is just
so cool. You know, delicious. There was a truck outside Healy Hall yesterday. It was an
Were
oxygen,
they selling oxygen?
It was an oxygen truck. It was like Tim's Oxygen. It was just like tons of oxygen tanks. I was like, damn, I kind of want to take one of these.
Want to get some oxygen?
Just
save it for later.
Pure oxygen.
Throw it in the fridge.
Very dangerous. They had nitrogen as well, though, so I think they produce balanced atmospheres for you.
That's nice.
That's good, because, like, I mean, it's what was it, Apollo, which Apollo mission was they... The one that caught fire on the ground, they basically, the capsule, instead of using like an oxygen-nitrogen kind of atmospheric mix, they did 100% oxygen for the astronauts to breathe. And that's a ticking time bomb. And so a little spark and the whole thing went up in flames.
Well.
And it was really tragic.
So you were running.
Pause. I was running.
Yes.
And I finished running. I get back. I'm doing the hands on the knees things. And I feel the sandwich kind of move around a little bit, you know? It had settled.
Oh gosh.
And
I know what you mean.
It wasn't feeling so good.
Mm.
And, well, long story short, the sandwich left me.
Oh. That's unpleasant.
We had to part ways. How did I get to this story?
I don't really know. But I do have a related story.
What was between this and the needles?
You know what, listeners? Contact us. Let us know, because we don't remember.
Yeah, you could call the radio phone, but I just realized it disappeared. There used to be a phone in here.
Oh.
There's even a phone. Oh, wait, it's right next to me. It's right here.
Oh, is it that phone sitting right there
on
the desk?
Yeah, there's actually a number you can call.
Wow, I didn't know that.
It's on the thing. I don't know if I should tell people.
Let's not.
We could. Someone's taking a photo.
Oh, wow. Someone's outside of the studio trying to, There's a window in front of us.
Yeah.
And so...
Oh, he's blocking us.
Oh, no.
He's taking a selfie.
Oh.
Okay, this is a little strange.
This is compelling content right here.
I don't know, maybe they're big radio fans.
We just took a selfie with some people outside of the radio station.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably fans. They recognized us.
They must be listening.
I did notice they weren't wearing our merch.
That's unfortunate.
That's a little disappointing.
I think they must not be real fans, then.
Yeah, so you can actually buy our merch. If you go to timsoxygen.com, we have a partnership with Tim's.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they're called Tim's Oxygen. I just like the way that rolls off the tongue, you know? Tim's Oxygen.
Yeah. You can, in fact, inject that oxygen directly into your bloodstream.
With a needle?
With needles.
Yikes. Won't that, like... That's going to do something bad to your blood.
That
right?
is not good.
I mean, oxygen is blood. The whole point of blood is that it's carrying oxygen around.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you just... You kind of...
Directly inject pure oxygen.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you'll become like... You know Fantastic
America?
Four? You know Fantastic Four? The Human Torch?
Yeah.
He injects oxygen straight into his blood and catches on fire. But get this. Get this. The Human Torch in the original Fantastic Four.
He's speaking a lot faster.
All right, yeah. The Human Torch. In the original Fantastic Four movie. Uh-huh. Guess who played him?
I don't know.
Chris Evans.
Wow. Really?
And guess who he plays? Captain America. Everyone knows that.
Wow.
And isn't that a great full circle?
Good work.
So
you left your lovely sandwich.
Oh yeah, that,
after running.
The sandwich left me, you know, we had a falling out.
Yeah. Did you ever try and like reconnect or
No,
like...
the falling out was projectile in nature.
So we've gone to a dark place, I'm gonna be honest. We should probably steer it somewhere else.
Wait, didn't you have a story about, like, vomiting blood or something?
Oh, oh no.
It wasn't vomiting blood. It was bleeding in Disney right. World. You know,
so
the Magic
I was...
Kingdom where you vomit blood.
Oh, my God. Wow. Jeez.
Well, I mean, think
Yikes.
About it. I vomited in Disney World. I told that story
Jinkies.
2 weeks ago.
Well, so. No one knows that story, do they?
Well...
All right, so my story about... Let me explain this, because I was, in fact, not vomiting blood. This... Shocking, I know. What was happening... So I was probably...
I was crying blood.
About... I must have been about 3, Oof. Maybe... Maybe 4 or 5. I don't really remember. I was very little. And so my family, collectively, we all went to Disney World. Which was very exciting for me as a small child who liked Disney. So,
you know who else is who's owned by Disney?
Captain America.
Captain America.
We're down in Florida, and I'm visiting my grandparents. We all go to Disney, and I have this lovely shirt that my parents bought for me while we were down in Florida. It had a gecko on it. As a child, I was also prone to nosebleeds because it was very hot. I just often ended up having nosebleeds, which is unfortunate, but luckily they've sort of gone away. I think I was probably dehydrated as a child. But it's fine now. I drink water. Water's good. Drink water. Hydrate.
Yeah.
Get vaccinated. Be healthy.
Okay, there's a lot of information coming here.
So, as a child, right. To recap, as a child, I went to Disney World. I had nosebleeds often. I liked my shirt. Right?
Yeah.
Combining that all together, can you see where this is going?
No, I can't.
You can't?
No.
That's unfortunate.
I need you to explain it more.
I will explain it more. I'll do exactly that. So, what are you looking up? I'm just kind of looking over your shoulder.
I'm queuing up songs
nice,
for my...
For the actual radio bit.
Yeah.
So, we're walking around in Disney World. I'm having the time of my life. As a small child, I'm loving the scene. I'm enjoying the rides that
Imagine
I can go on because I can't
ever.
Go on all of them because I'm 3. And I'm spending time with my family. It's lovely. And then it's very hot outside and I get a nosebleed. And what do? I bleed all over my favorite shirt.
What was on the shirt?
It was a gecko. I've already explained this.
I forgot.
You were not listening to me.
I said gecko when you said that.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't even hear.
I guess I didn't really put those things together.
Anyway, so... I bleed all over this awesome shirt, and I make a scene. I'm crying. I'm a coward. And by the end of it, the shirt has enough blood on it that we have to throw the shirt out. one of the lovely workers at Disney World gets me a new shirt, so I'm not walking around shirtless in Disney World. They give me a shirt, fit for a 3-year old. I think it probably had Mickey Mouse on it.
Was it free?
Yeah, they gave it to me free.
Oh, nice.
Which is very nice of them. Like,
that's an overall win, I would say.
But what is it, though? Because
yeah.
What did I lose? What did it cost me? My favorite shirt.
Yeah, but you got a free shirt. I mean, I'm viewing this as you paid a blood tax to get a free shirt from Disney.
I paid a blood tax.
And so what I'm
that
hearing
is dark.
Is Disney is running a
this
secret...
This has gone a dark place.
Disney is running a secret industry where there's it's an unknown currency.
I see.
And it's the currency of child blood.
Okay.
Because think about it. You got a free shirt.
I'm just going to let you take this where it goes.
You got a free shirt because you bled. And you bled for Disney.
Yes.
You bled for Walt Disney's rumored cryogenically frozen body. That is a big
fact,
rumor.
Where do they... What do they do with all the child blood they collect
the years? I don't know.
They use it to they collect it in a vial so that one day Walt Disney may come back to life.
Right, so they keep it to resurrect him.
Yes.
That's very interesting. Because he is cryogenically frozen.
He is. That's underneath Disney World.
No, but that's actually like a major theory.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
I think that's very funny.
It is a strange one.
But yeah, I mean, I think if you were to write like a college essay about this,
yeah,
call it like Disney's blood tax.
Wow.
And it could be like don't make this a college essay. Make this like a Washington Post, you know, front page expose.
But if it's a college essay, you can at least use Wikipedia as a source.
Oh, you can't do that with journalism?
Probably not.
I guess you're supposed to use like, you know, primary sources.
You're
like
supposed to
who
like
there.
Interview people and
you can interview Disney employees.
I could. Could I interview myself because I was a subject of the tale?
Yes.
I think that's fine.
Okay, cool. So Disney's blood tax.
Okay.
A memoir?
No.
A personal narrative? How are you going to frame this one?
I'm not sure.
For publication.
Well, so here's the thing. Is it like an investigative piece about the underground of Disney and
I think that's
the child blood currency ring? If it was the personal story that I just gave, if I wrote it down into some sort of memoir, then it would be. But I don't know if that's the most compelling narrative.
You could do a little bit of both. You could start off like, you know, when I was a kid, and then boom, story.
So have, like, the lead of the story be the anecdotal narrative.
Exactly.
Then have the nut graph following that be the sort of the core of your investigative piece.
Right.
And then support that using...
Because you gotta hook the other
cited evidence from Wikipedia.
And nothing says, whoa, this is interesting, like, Geico shirt at Disney World, right?
I would say so.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting hook.
Yeah.
Or you could say... You could start it off a little more dramatic, be like, you know, I opened my eyes and I was covered in blood. Be like, whoa, what happened here? Because let's just pretend that you passed out.
Oh, I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
Okay, well, let's just say you did for dramatic tension.
Okay.
You know, you come to your senses and you don't know where you are.
Okay.
The giant Epcot ball looms over you and you think you're on an alien spaceship.
Even worse, a man I don't know in a giant Mickey Mouse costume stares at me.
No, it's not a man. A giant mouse is staring at me.
A giant mouse
just a full-on
stares
rodent.
At me from the distance. He's like, I'm alone in the park. across the street is the only other individual in the entire
He's just frozen
region.
Staring.
Frozen.
That's like some Pennywise
that
kind of thing.
That is not okay.
Yeah.
I really... This is...
This took a horror turn. I like
really...
It.
Yeah? You do like it.
Well, I think it's a compelling
Isn't it, you know
story,
what?
You know?
I would read that.
I would watch it.
There you go.
I would watch the movie adaptation.
Hmm.
Disney's blood tax. I think it could have a better name than that. That Disney's blood tax is a good article title, but what's the movie called?
Oh, Mickey Mouse Winter Soldier.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, how much is Mickey Mouse like the new antagonist in this one?
Oh, I don't know.
Because that could be cool.
Captain America v. Mickey Mouse.
So are you Captain America when he's 3?
Maybe.
Is that what caused him to want to, you know, fight for justice? This Disney...
Maybe it is.
Did Disney World even exist at this point?
No. I don't think so. When did Disney World? Hold on, let me consult with the notes.
I mean, Disney products certainly existed. Mickey Mouse is from, like, what, the 30s or something? The 20s? Mickey Mouse is an old character. So Disney has existed forever. I mean, all the cartoons. Right. You know? But I don't know when Disney World was, when the ground was first broken. Let's just pretend that it all works.
I've consulted with the notes.
Okay.
Here, let me reinforce it. Okay.
Okay.
So I've consulted with the notes. Disney World, the theme park, resort, and entertainment complex located in Florida, was founded on October 1st of 1971.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's actually a lot later than I thought.
Me too. I thought it would be like the 60s. That's kind of where I was guessing.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe there was like a little thing in the 40s, you know?
No, I don't know about that. I think your Wikipedia knowledge is leading you astray.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Though in saying that, I just looked it up on my phone because we don't have any notes.
Yeah.
And to break the illusion for a brief moment, here, let me check the notes again. So, besides, I just looked it up on my phone.
Right.
And where did I find that knowledge that of when Disney World was founded?
The CIA World Factbook.
You got me.
Okay, I knew it.
Wikipedia. I found out on Wikipedia.
So with that, so we have a setting.
Mm.
1971, you said?
1971, the year of the opening of Disney World.
So you're 3 years old. It's 1971.
I am a three-year-old Steve Rogers.
You awaken... Oh, you're also Captain America? I think you're just you.
Okay.
Because then it gets too confusing.
Right, that's... Okay.
So you're you.
I'm John. I'm Little John.
And, oh, but Mickey Mouse is the Winter Soldier.
Oh, Mickey Mouse has Bucky Barnes. Spoilers. But not really. You should have watched the movie.
Yeah, you should see it.
If you haven't watched the movie, none of this would be funny anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I mean, is it funny anyway?
No, it's not. To begin with, this is not.
This is not funny anyway.
We aren't funny. So in case you haven't figured that out by now, so I'm Little John. Little John.
Like Shots, Little John.
All right, look, I'm three, so like okay. I've got to be little.
Yeah, Little John.
Yeah.
So Little John, he wakes up. This is kind of the opening in the movie script.
He
wakes up, looks around. He's covered in blood.
Covered.
Just covered. Like, just...
Gecko's shirt is just ruined.
Smothered in blood. Just absolutely destroyed.
And who is staring at me?
100 yards away.
100 yards away?
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse.
Just leering.
God.
Just frozen. His head is, like, kind of slightly inclined downwards. I have this picture in my head.
The suit is, like, not nice. It's, like, kind of...
It's, like, a little stain.
There's, like, lint on it.
There's just, like, weird stains. And
yeah.
It's, like, a little ratty.
There's, like, a little, like... You can, like, tell it's been, like, roughed up a bit.
There's, like, bite marks in it
somehow. I was thinking, like, a handprint, like, on, like...
Oh, okay.
His shorts, I guess.
His shorts.
What do you call them?
I guess they're shorts. Yeah, he wears those like red shorts.
Yeah.
So you look, and I have this image in my mind from the movie It.
Yeah.
With Pennywise the Clown. There's this scene where an old lady, you can see her, she's like out of focus across the room, and she's just frozen staring at this kid because it's Pennywise, it's like inhabiting her body or whatever. That's exactly what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
So you have Mickey Mouse 100 yards away,
mm.
100 meters away, let's say. He's just staring, and you're kind of like, you know, coming to your senses, and that's the beginning of the movie.
Okay.
I don't know where it goes though.
Well, Captain America obviously comes next.
Well, he has to show. He's gonna show up and
is like halfway in.
I guess he'll like rescue you.
Well, he has to become Captain America.
Well, no, but the thing
is this in the MCU?
Yeah, it's in 1971, so he's still frozen.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
But Bucky Barnes, Winter Soldier,
I'm dead.
Well, no, you're alive.
I'm gonna die because Captain America isn't there.
Well, that's where our mysterious character comes in.
Who would that be?
Goofy?
The cryogenically frozen body of Walt Disney.
Yes.
Gets revived for a brief moment.
Wait, no, he was still alive though, right?
Was he?
In the 70s? He has to be alive. Can you check the notes?
I'll check the notes.
Yeah, so I think Walt Disney alive is going to be... And then Walt... No, you know what it is? The reason Walt Disney is frozen is because he had to sacrifice himself to save you.
Walt Disney passed away in December 15th of 1966.
Oh.
He is not alive either.
Okay, can this just be an alternate universe? Let's just pretend it's 1966.
Okay. And it's, Disney World...
Disney like, World opens in 1966.
It's like a sort of...
It's like a Quentin Tarantino alternate history story, but it's true.
Have you ever played the game Bioshock and it has that like old-timey aesthetic?
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like it's not... Steampunk isn't the right word for it. It's like early 20th century sort of vibes.
Yep.
Imagine a Disney World with that sort of art style, let's say. That sort of stylistic intention. And then Walt Disney...
So, yeah, basically the climax of the movie.
Yes.
Walt Disney comes in and he saves you. How does he end up frozen? How does freezing himself stop Mickey Mouse?
Because Mickey Mouse obviously has the Tesseract and is flying the plane. And then
No, because that would make him the good guy.
No.
Okay, I got you.
Mickey Mouse is flying the plane. He's trying to steal the Tesseract. And Walt Disney, he jumps onto the plane at the last moment. He's in a car driving and... He leaps onto it. He boards the plane.
Right.
He's able to throw Mickey Mouse out of the plane. And then, in order to prevent the Tesseract from falling into the wrong hands, he drives the plane, flies the plane. You don't drive a plane.
No, you do not.
You wouldn't drive a plane.
No.
He flies the plane.
Yes.
Into the Arctic. And he freezes.
He actually crash lands right next to Captain America.
He crash lands like, directly next door to Captain America.
But for some reason, they didn't unfreeze Walt Disney, or they found him, and
they returned him to Disney.
Right, because he was Disney's property.
Right.
Why was he Disney's property?
Don't worry about it. And so they returned him to Disney, and
he's still there to this day.
The owners of Disney realized we'll need to at some point revive Walt, and if Mickey Mouse ever returns here. If that specific instance of Mickey Mouse, the deranged Pennywise version.
Yeah.
And so, they keep him. And how do they keep him alive?
In Epcot.
Child's Blood.
Right.
And so it's a full circle.
So,
he
goes from good guy to villain. Because he saves you.
Yeah.
Right? But then in the end, he has to... he saves you not from some, you know, altruism or, you know, heroic...
Because
side
he,
of himself.
He you realize
because he knows he needs that blood.
He, yeah, wow, what a twist,
right? That's a big twist.
I am shaken by that.
Yeah, it's a little weird. So is he stored in Epcot? Where do they keep him?
I thought he was underneath the castle.
I think he should be in the highest tower of the castle.
Ooh,
I like that. He can kind of look over his
domain.
His domain, yeah.
Ooh.
So anyway,
tyrant of Disney World.
That's the story of how, you know, the blood tax of Disney.
Yeah. Real shame I lost that shirt, but it's okay. I'll get over it.
Why'd you like it so much?
I just liked it.
It was like a 3-year-old attachment kind of thing?
Yeah.
I get that, yeah.
Pretty much it.
Maybe, wonder what happened to it.
It's a trash can somewhere.
Just in the same trash can?
It's never moved. I'll go back in 50 years, look for it.
That's kind of weird to think about. Like, what happened to that shirt? You know, where is it now? Like, what's left of it?
I'm not sure.
Was it incinerated or, you know, trash compacted or...
Just in a landfill somewhere?
Is it in the ocean? Did a turtle eat it?
Oh, gosh. Don't do that.
Well, a turtle probably ate it.
Oh,
no. They wouldn't eat a shirt. They wouldn't think it's a jellyfish. They think plastic bags are jellyfish.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. It's a real shame. So,
Yeah, so that I think that's a good place to wrap up.
I think so too. I think that that was a strong finish
with the big twist.
The big twist.
The Walt Disney twist.
Yeah. We'll let you ponder that in the future. I think maybe we'll come back to it someday. Maybe we'll write a sequel.
Yeah.
Find out what really happens.
Wait, what is the movie title again?
Oh,
Is it Mickey Mouse the Winter Soldier?
I kind of like that. I kind of want it to be that.
It makes sense. Or Walt Disney Winter Soldier.
No, but I kind of like it. Sounds more ridiculous with Mickey Mouse.
It does. And we can't spoil it. See, people are expecting, Mickey Mouse is actually Walt Disney's old friend. No, Walt Disney is actually the villain.
Yeah.
What if Mickey Mouse was trying to save you?
Oh my goodness.
But he just was really creepy and he didn't have good social skills. And he was like, it's like, It's like, no, I was trying to save you. I just, like, I had this dirty costume on.
Like, there's the only one left, and I knew I couldn't come out in sunlight, like, without the costume, because that's against company policy.
Yeah. And it was, like, the reason he was staring at you all weird was because he was actually texting on his phone. Oh, yeah. Wait, no, it's the 60s. He was actually...
communicating on his telegraph inside the suit.
What would you be doing?
I mean, they have phones in the 60s.
Yeah, I just know they're, not, like, it's not cellular.
Yeah.
So he was doing something. Maybe he was like, he was just like kind of hanging out. He was reading his book, but it looked like he was staring at you all weird, like.
Right.
And then it turns out in his epic fight with Walt Disney, somehow the Tesseract gets involved. I don't know. Let's not go into that now. But long story short,
you'll have to wait and find out.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week, maybe. Mickey Mouse was the good guy. And that's the twist.
He's just a creepy guy.
He's a good guy, or he has good intentions, but he's not good at showing them. That's kind of tragic.
It is sad.
On that note,
thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. This was the podcast. We have to think of a good name.
Yeah. We'll come up with.
We're gonna have a name for the podcast that's separate
from
Worst Case Ontario is my radio show, which is not the same as this podcast. We just do it at the same time because it's convenient. So that was the podcast.
Thank you for having me on your radio show, and I'm happy that we can use this
lovely studio. Oh, also thanks to Georgetown University, our sponsors.
Thank you, Georgetown. Thank you.
Thanks, Audible.
Thanks, Audible. Thank you, Disney.
And Disney, yeah. Yeah.
Needles.
And
thank you.
Needles R
Us. Wikipedia. Thank you.
Yep. And big shout out to all the people here today at Homecoming, because it's Homecoming, you know. I don't really know where I'm going with this.
Thank you, Edith.
Thanks, Edith. Also,
thanks,
Samuel, the doctor.
Who wasn't here today?
It's gotten a little weird, not gonna lie.
What do you mean?
We're getting into absurdist territory. Well, we've been in absurdist territory.
You think we haven't been there?
Oh, also, it's 15-9, Georgetown's winning.
Nice.
So, have a good Saturday.
Have a good one.
Afternoon/evening. We'll be back next week.
Thank you for listening. I've been John.
I'm still Tommy.